is your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan. Here's the man, the myth, the Mac.
Yeah, except Mac's on vacation and left all of you guys. I'm just kidding. The guy's got a well-deserved break, okay? We'll cut him some slack here this morning. Logan Weber in here with you guys for the Fantasy Football Show here on 96.5 The Fan. Producer, as always, extraordinaire Jacob Mustard along for the ride. And I have to be honest, my fantasy football team personally is in absolute free fall. I started the year 2-0, rolling, but I have lost my last two games, and injuries have begun to pile up. Namely, I had Malik Nabers on my team. So I was at the game. I was at Arrowhead last Sunday for the Chiefs-Ravens game and had to watch with 100 other people up in the press box last Sunday as Malik Nabers fell to the ground. And I'm like, it's my second round pick. That's cool. No, it's fine. It's fine. At least I have Justin Jefferson, who's done pretty much little to nothing all year, because nobody seemingly in that Vikings quarterback room knows how to throw him the football. But it's been better, at least so far. I mean, first quarter, Justin Jefferson has 6 points, almost 7 points. Vikings did just score a touchdown. Yeah, okay. I saw that, Jacob, and no, all right? I had a whole discussion about that last week on After Hours. I made a plea to parents to get their children to stop saying the phrase 6-7 because it is nauseating. So do not do that. Don't make that little hand gesture thing. You're going to drive me insane already. It's 9 a.m. All right. I have a whole day ahead of me. Do not start it off like this.
I forgot you're also kind of working in schools as well.
Yes.
So you probably get that all the time.
Dude, it is especially like the middle school kids. Like, I swear, if it's like they hear something one time and either they think it's funny or they say it and somebody else thinks it's funny, it becomes their entire personality for the next 6 months. And it's the only thing they'll say. I'll have a group of middle schoolers for 50 minutes in a class period. I will hear the phrase 6-7 at least 100 times. Twice a minute, somebody will say it. And most of the time, it's the same kid who just says it over and over again, like it's the only words in his dictionary. It's ridiculous. Back to the matter at hand, all right? We got fantasy football action, and we got a game going on right now. So if you were looking for picks for the Vikings-Browns game, any start sits, too little too late on that one, right? The Vikings just threw a touchdown pass. It was Cam Akers. Their running back threw a 32-yard touchdown pass to backup tight end Josh Oliver. Fun fact for you, not only do I have Justin Jefferson on my team catching passes, I also have TJ Hockenson. My tight ends are a joke, dude. I thought nabbing TJ Hockenson and David Njoku was going to be like a mythical tight end pull in a fantasy football draft, because those two guys have been pretty solid, although TJ just can't stay healthy. But Njoku had like a career year last year. Like, this is going to be great. Nada. These two guys have done absolutely nothing. David Njoku has been pretty much overtaken by Harold Fannin Jr. already, and we're in week 5 of the season. He caught the only touchdown pass for the Browns today.
Yeah, I've seen Njoku dropped in several leagues just because, I mean, people don't want to deal with it. And yeah, I kind of, my tight end situation, I picked up Juwan Johnson off the waivers, and my tight end drafted was Colston Loveland, who I immediately dropped after week 1, and has picked up Jake Ferguson. So I kind of lucked out with him and the CeeDee Lamb injury and how many targets he's getting. But he's still in a high volume pass offense, which is what's kind of expected.
Yeah, no question. I tried to pick up Juwan Johnson after week 2, but I was 2-0, so I was like 11th out of 12, or I was 9th out of 10 on the waiver priority list or whatever. So somebody else that was higher up on the list picked him up, and I lost my shot. I did make a couple of changes this week on my fantasy football team, namely because Malik Nabers is out for the remainder of the year. I needed running back help. I only really had three decent, I guess you could say, tight ends or running backs, I should say. I had Kyren Williams on top of my list, who was great on Thursday, aside from the fumble. If not for the fumble, he would have gotten me 35 or 36 fantasy points. Instead, he got me 31. No complaints there. Right, my number two running back is Amarion Hampton, who is coming off of the best week of his young career that he's ever had, and hopefully something he can build on moving forward, you know, today against Washington team this afternoon. But I needed help beyond that. Like, I drafted Joe Mixon in the last round of my fantasy draft because I'm like, he's going to start the year on the IR, but when he comes back, you know, he should be the starter. Although with Woody Marks and Nick Chubb, I guess, you know, we'll see what happens there in Houston. I needed more. So this week, I picked up Michael Carter with the Arizona Cardinals because you've already got, you know, James Conner, or not James Conner. The starting running back for the Cardinals is going to be out for a couple of weeks. So I figured make a run at a guy like that. He's a good enough runner of the football. He can help me survive for a couple of weeks. The one that I'm kind of curious about, Rico Dowdle. I picked him up from the Carolina Panthers just because I'm not entirely sure how long Chuba Hubbard's going to be out, even if it is for a week or two. Just something. I just need a little something in the running back room because I am thin at that position right now.
Well, and that pickup of, if anybody has not, if you go to your waivers right now, if Rico Dowdle is there, go pick him up. Two DNPs in practice for Chuba Hubbard this week.
Yeah.
He played through an injury last week and re-aggravated it. He is going to miss some time. We saw that with Trey Benson, and where Trey Benson kind of tweaked something at the end of the game, and now he's on IR. If Hubbard is to miss time, Rico Dowdle is their starter. They have Trevor Etienne is their second string running back. So, yeah, Rico Dowdle is a great option. He was proven last year in the Cowboys offense and got some really good touches there. This week, if you can get Dowdle and stash him, he's probably going to be a very good play for the next 3 weeks, especially with their schedule.
Yeah, I've actually got him slotted into my flex this week. I'm looking at it from the perspective of, like, my other wide receivers. So, prior to Malik Nabers going down, wide receiver was my biggest position of strength, and it probably still is, but I had Justin Jefferson as my wide receiver one, Malik Nabers at wide receiver two, and then I kind of fluctuated in my flex position with either Michael Pittman Jr., Jacoby Myers, or DJ Moore. I was kind of going back and forth with those guys. Really, Michael Pittman's been the most consistent theme there, but now considering Malik Nabers is out for the year, he's gone from my primary flex option to my wide receiver two. And so I'm sitting there looking at my flex going, do I go with Jacoby Myers against Indianapolis, a team that's been pretty good defensively this year? Or, and a guy that really hasn't been as effective since that week one game as you would hope from him. Like, Trey Tucker has sort of taken over as the wide receiver one in that Raiders offense the last 3 weeks, which has been kind of terrifying to look at, aside from obviously Brock Bowers. So I decided to go with Dowdle at my flex instead of Jacoby Myers, which is just going to play out great for me when Jacoby Myers goes for 8 for 91 yards and 2 touchdowns today and scores 30 points. I'm going to love every bit of that.
Oh, trust me, I understand. We made a couple trades in our league this week. And my flex play, I decided to pick up Kendrick Bourne after I learned that Brock Purdy was out. And I was kind of relying on that old Patriots combo between Mac Jones and Kendrick Bourne. But then a second trade hit my inbox, and I was able to bench Kendrick Bourne. And so I no longer get his 20-some points because they're on my bench.
That's tough. Not an ideal situation for you at all. Man, if you're a Quinshon Judkins fantasy owner and you started him today, you are sick to your stomach. That man just ran for like a 50-plus yard touchdown, called back on account of holding. He ran all the way into the end zone like threw the ball up against the wall and was celebrating, turned back around, saw the penalty marker was down, and immediate two hands on top of the helmet, just full panic mode, like, you have got to be kidding me. Regardless, it's a 7-7 game. First quarter just ended. Quinshon Judkins has accounted for over 60% of the Browns' offense. Dylan Gabriel has 28 yards passing, and Jerome Ford has 3 yards rushing. Quinshon Judkins is the other 48 of their 81 yards of offense. Or 79, I should say 79 yards of offense. So far, so good. You know, hopefully we get I see a little bit more from TJ Hockenson over the next three quarters, but 3.5 points in the first quarter. Got 2 catches for 14 yards. Jay Jettis, 3 for 38. I'm looking at my other options. You know, Michael Pittman against Vegas, Rico Dowdle against Miami, a Miami team that should pretty much throw in the towel at this point. I would say your defense is banged up. Tyreek Hill just had major knee surgery and is out for the remainder of the year. Tua is not a quarterback that can win you a big game. Give it up, Miami. So I'm hoping that Rico Dowdle can have some semblance of success. But the Carolina Panthers are sort of in the same boat of like, yeah, just call it a night. Just wave the proverbial white flag. You've got 2 more years of Bryce Young under this rookie deal, so you're kind of stuck with what you got. It's going to be an interesting week in the National Football League. A couple people have already sent some stuff into the text line. 913-586-7965 is our number. And we'll get more into the start sit as we go along later on in the program for sure. But somebody was asking, pick one to play, Stevenson, Kroski Merritt, or DeMarco?
DeMarcado.
DeMarcado. Okay. I was like, I don't recognize that name.
It's the other option on the Cardinals' backfield.
Right. I like DeMarcado. The problem is that he's much more of like a pass-catching back, I would say, than Michael Carter is. Now, I picked up Michael Carter this week, but I'm not going to start him, because I just want to know what happens, like where they go from here. Kroski Merritt is another kind of interesting option. I haven't really done a lot of looking into Kroski Merritt, you know. But
as a Bill owner myself, you kind of just have to. He's been really good in the yards per carry department, and he has been overall looked the best out of the three options after Eckler's gone down. However, he's just not getting the touches. It's still a three-way backfield. If you can sit on that for another week or two, this is the point where we see rookies. We tell everybody, wait on your rookies. They will go off, and as soon as they start learning the offense, it takes them more than a couple weeks. And this is the time where you kind of see a tough matchup. Maybe the other running backs get a little dinged up. Merritt gets more options, and then he kind of solidifies himself as the starter. So hold on to your rookies. Stevenson's not a bad play. It is against the Bills in primetime, so you get to watch your player on primetime. I'm always a fan of doing something like that. But it's also a Bills defense that is not as good as it previously was. So yeah, I would be choosing between Stevenson or Kroski Merritt. They're kind of having the same outlook this season so far.
Yeah, I just diving into it a little bit more, and the more I think, I would probably lean Kroski Merritt. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Like, I know that Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt's best individual game this year was probably week one against the Giants. I mean, his first game of his NFL career, 10 carries, 82 yards, and a touchdown. And after that, he became less effective. Only 4 carries for 17 yards week two against Green Bay. He had 8 for 26 and a touchdown in week three against the Raiders. Last week, he still only had 7 carries, but he went for 47 yards. I mean, that damn near 7 yards a carry last week against Atlanta. Also had the most catches he's had in the game this year. It was only 2, but 2 catches for 10 yards. 9 touches is sort of where he's hovered around right now. But you mentioned the run, you know, how with rookies, as they get a greater grasp of the offense, I think that you'll see those guys get more opportunities. The Chiefs have talked about that already when it comes to Breshard Smith, right? Look at Ramondre Stevenson. Look at who he plays for. And let's think for a minute. Huh, do the Patriots have a rookie running back that they're pretty high on that does some pretty special things athletically with the football in his hands that could possibly be getting more of a run in this offense? Well, yeah, Trevion Henderson.
Yeah, and they have him. The issue when it comes to that is the fact that Stevenson fumbled twice, once on the one-yard line and in the first drive of the game after they got a drive-saving penalty. And he was still the starter the next week and got a bulk of touches. Trevion Henderson is cutting into the workload, but until I see Henderson as a starter, it is just an uncomfortable start. And then the other thing to mention about Bill is we haven't seen this offense with Jaden Daniels for too long, except for that week one matchup. So Jaden Daniels is back this week, although he does have a brace. The defense is not going to be able to pack the box as much with Daniels at the helm instead of Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to look forward to. I kind of forgot Jaden Daniels was out and or was coming back until they just showed him today. So that's another thing that could boost the offense. I don't mind starting Bill either.
Yeah, Ramondre Stevenson's numbers do not wow. Week one against the Raiders, 7 carries for 15 yards, 2 yards a carry. He had 11 for 54 against Miami, which is a little bit better, close to 5 yards a carry. 4 carries, 18 yards against the Steelers. And he had 9 carries for 38 yards against the Panthers. Does not have a rushing touchdown at all this year. And he's been pretty limited in the passing game. He's got 11 catches for like 130 yards. So, he's got more. I think he might have as many receiving yards as he does rushing yards this year, which is not at all ideal. He's got 141 yards through the air. He's got 125 on the ground. Yikes. That's a running back. That should not be the case. I would lean Kroski Merritt. Somebody says, 2 questions. Darius Slayton or Malik Washington, Michael Carter or Trevion Henderson?
Ooh.
My gut reaction off rip is Darius Slayton. Because, yes, I know that the Giants are in kind of flux with their offense right now, going from Russell Wilson to Jackson Dart and going from Tyron Tracy Jr. to Cam Scataboo and that rookie backfield they're trying to get acclimated, and with Malik Nabers being out. But I think with Malik Nabers being out, it's going to increase the workload of Darius Slayton. He becomes the wide receiver 2 now behind Wandale Robinson. At the same time, Malik Washington now kind of becomes wide receiver 2 for the Miami Dolphins. This is an interesting philosophy because Malik Washington has primarily in his career kind of been known as a return specialist more so than anything else. He's got some, he's a speedster, but the guy's only got 8 catches this year. And in an offense that is typically a lot of 3 wide receiver sets where Washington is on the field, he's not seeing a lot of run. I would probably lean Darius Slayton. The other one is Michael Carter or Trevion Henderson. 2 running backs, young guys who are splitting time with somebody else. Honestly, I think Trevion Henderson has a higher ceiling than Michael Carter, but Ramondre Stevenson is so ingrained into that Patriots offense that it's a little bit harder for Trevion Henderson to take away snaps and take away carries and touches versus Michael Carter, who is in a 1-2 running back punch with DeMarcado. But those 2 guys are very different. DeMarcado is more of the receiving back of the 2. So Michael Carter could see a lot of the opportunities on 1st and 2nd down, I would say. I would probably lean Michael Carter just a little bit. But if you want to go with Trevion Henderson, I completely understand because I believe he's got the higher ceiling. We'll go into more start sits as we go along here. But when we come back, I want to run through The weekly schedule in the NFL this week and who I believe to be some of the big-time players, what some of the biggest factors are going to be fantasy-wise in some of these games coming up Sunday and, of course, Monday night with the Chiefs and the Jaguars. 913-586-7965 is our number. Start sit coming up in just a little bit here on the Fantasy Football Show, 96.5 The Fan.
It's time for Max Matchups.
You know, I haven't swiped right on 500 men.
This is Fantasy Football Sunday with Mac Morey on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That drop is phenomenal. Oh, Mac.
I forgot you didn't know that was...
Oh, that is so good. That's the thing about, like, being in this business and, like, being in front of the microphone. Sometimes you say things completely well-intentioned that, like with anything else, right, when taken out of context, just sounds atrocious. Like, I can remember one of my favorite stories, and we'll get into the matchups here in just a second. Logan Weber here with you, filling in for Mac. Jacob Mustard behind the glass here on Fantasy Football Sunday. When I was working in Springfield, this was probably close to 2 years ago now. It was July because it was right after the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Joey Chestnut won, right? And like set a new record. He ate like 68 hot dogs in the 3 minutes or whatever it is. I refuse to watch the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. I think it's gross and I also despise hot dogs, so I don't watch it. But we come into the studio, you know, that next Monday after the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, and my co-host is talking about Joey Chestnut and how he is the best eater on the planet. He then refers to Joey Chestnut on air, and I kid you not, as the throat goat. That became a drop. We used it for the next 6 months, and it still got me to laugh every day. And he was completely well-intentioned, and we all knew what he meant, but context is key in that situation, and it can really, really not pan out for you very well if taken out of context. All right, let's get into Max matchups here on this Sunday, October 5th. Let's go down the list. Let's begin with some of the big matchups. Cowboys-Jets. Boy, this is a game that is going to be interesting. I'll tell you one thing. My biggest takeaway here with Cowboys-Jets. George Pickens. I know. George Pickens is a boom or bust king in this league. Has been since he arrived in the NFL. But with no CeeDee Lamb, the Cowboys running back room has been a lot better than I think people were anticipating with Javonte Williams. But it's still Dak Prescott and the Cowboys offense. I don't care who the head coach is. I don't care who the offensive coordinator is. They always seemingly throw the football a lot. Look for George Pickens to get involved. You mentioned earlier that you picked up Jake Ferguson off waivers in your fantasy league. I think he's an interesting addition too because he will continue to see targets. Brandon Cooks is kind of like a sneaky flex option if you're really limited in your league. Like if you have a 12 or a 14 team league, I think Brandon Cooks could be a sneaky option. But I think if you've got George Pickens and you don't have another viable tight end on your fantasy team and you're looking at Jake Ferguson or maybe he's on waivers this morning and you need a tight end, I think he's an interesting addition. You starting him this week?
Yeah, I mean, I added him back in week two after Colston Loveland's kind of disappointing outlook to the season and how the Bears talked him up and then hardly used him. He's, I think, tight end two on the season right now in points, so he may not be available in your waivers. If he is, pick him up. I mean, I'm starting him over the likes of Juwan Johnson, Brenton Strange, you know, until you get to the top tier of Trey McBride and those tight ends is where he's kind of at right now. A solid high upside wide receiver, tight end two, low end tight end one. Just because he's going to get the value while CeeDee Lamb is out, probably due for 10 targets a game.
Yeah, he's probably like a tight end 12, tight end 15, right, overall over the course of a season. But if you're in one of those 12, 14, you know, 16 team leagues that somehow exist, you might be a little bit limited on your options.
I told Mac I did a 32-man league last year.
Ugh. That would be awful. Like, you'd be sitting there, like, looking at your flex, and you're just staring down the barrel of, like, the Carolina Panthers' third-string running back in a league like that, because there's no availability whatsoever. That waiver wire must be a monster. Just a gauntlet to try to get a player you want. All right, next game I've got is Giants Saints. I've seen some people, like, I've seen articles this week that are like, hey, look, you know, look at Jackson Dart. And I'm like, yeah, I know Jackson Dart can move a little bit and he can run, but they're not going to throw the ball 30 times a game yet. Honestly, if I'm looking at anybody in this Giants offense this week to potentially start, Cam Scataboo. Look for that man to continue to get involved. And I wasn't big on Cam Scataboo coming out of Arizona State, admittedly. And I'm not of the opinion that he's going to have a long and dynamic career in the NFL, he's off to a really good start. I mean, he impressed me in that Chiefs game, and he was good last week. If you need some help at that flex position, or if you've got a running back who's out or on a bye and you need an RB2, look towards a guy like Cam Scataboo. And for the Saints, Chris Olave, if you've got him, and obviously Alvin Kamara, because that guy has earned the benefit of the doubt.
I will say pay attention to Kamara. I'm not sure if he's going to be a healthy scratch or not. Kendre Miller, if he is on your waivers, go stash him. The backup running back. I think he's second or third year running back now. With the injury concerns to Kamara, I mean, he is older. And you could see Miller get an uptick in volume, even if Kamara is the starter. So it is kind of a wait and see. Like you talked about earlier in the broadcast, I mean, they're at the point of kind of giving up on the season.
Yeah.
And it's only week five. So it's one of those where we could see a Kamara downtick. I mean, he's in a ton of trade talks.
Oh, 100%.
So they may be trying to keep him healthy for those. So just keep your eye on the Saints offense and Kamara. And Kendre Miller, if he's on waiver, snag him up.
Yeah, I've heard teams like the Chiefs, of course. I've heard the Chargers seem to be somewhat interested in a guy like an Alvin Kamara to help maybe push them and get them over the hump a little bit more with a laxed running back room. The Chargers one is kind of a strange situation for me. I know you lost Najee Harris, but you've got a rookie in Amaron Hampton who was the starter already. So why would you trade for a guy in Kamara who is a starter in this league? Raiders-Colts. Sounds like this might be the most healthy that Brock Bowers has been in quite some time. And he's Brock Bowers. I mean, he is, I would say, probably a top three tight end in the NFL. And some would probably say he's the best tight end in the NFL at this point in his career. So he's always a guy that you're going to look at as being extremely viable. Michael Pittman, despite the fact that his like weekly projection numbers in NFL fantasy have not been great this year, he's bypassed it. He's a top 15 receiver in fantasy so far this year. And Daniel Jones seems to really like him and gets him consistent targets. So I would look towards a guy like that. Jacoby Myers, it's been boom or bust with him, but he did have 9 targets last week. So Geno Smith is trying to get him more involved in the offense. I personally did not start him this week. I benched him at my flex in favor of Rico Dowdle. I'm not entirely sure what to make of this. And I'm still nervous about the Colts entirely, because is the Daniel Jones thing real or is it a fluke? Right? That first half against the Rams last week, it looked like Daniel Jones was turning into the proverbial pumpkin, but then the second half played much better football. And then, of course, for the Indianapolis Colts, if you have Jonathan Taylor on your bench this week, you have only yourself to blame, because the guy has been the best back in football through the first 4 weeks of the season. He leads the league in rushing yards. Put Jonathan Taylor, if he's not your RB1, he should definitely be your RB2. And if he's your RB2, I want to know who your RB1 is. Dolphins-Panthers, I mean, Jalen Waddle's workload, sheer targets alone, is going to grow exponentially, right? I think that with that is going to come a lot more attention from defenses. He's going to see a lot more shell looks, a lot more double teams, a lot more press coverage with shading underneath and those sorts of things. But I think Tua is still probably going to get him 10 to 12 targets on a week-to-week basis average. So if you've got Waddle as a wide receiver two or a flex option, not mad about it at all. And I know I've already seen people asking about Darren Waller here this morning. I'm not sold yet. Okay, this guy wasn't in the league a year ago. He was retired making music. And yes, I know that Tyreek Hill is out, and now the Dolphins are going to need to do something else in a team that has traditionally been pretty pass heavy. But they still have Jalen Waddle, and they still have a good receiving and running guy in the backfield in Devon Achane and Ollie Gordon. So maybe we see some more two running back sets rather than these 31 or 22 personnel looks. I'm still not entirely sold on Darren Waller. Teteroa McMillan, he's been impressive as a rookie for the Carolina Panthers. And of course, I've mentioned it a couple of times already, Rico Dowdle. I picked him up this week. I've got him starting at my flex just because I believe he is going to get a lot of touches in this offense for the Carolina Panthers, because I really don't think that they're just going to drop back and throw the ball 35 times with Bryce Young. I just don't see it happening. The effectiveness of Rico Dowdle, that is yet to be determined. But I think from a volume standpoint, he will have opportunities. Broncos Eagles, J.K. Dobbins has been steadily improving in this offense. He got off to a pretty disappointing start, right? I mean, that 63 yards on 16 carries against the Titans wasn't great. But the next week, he went for 76 against the Colts. He went for 83 against the Chargers. And last week against the Cincinnati Bengals, 16 carries for 101 yards. He has three touchdowns rushing so far this year in four games. And he has had at least 11 carries in all four. So if you're looking for a fringe running back two, maybe even a solid flex option, because wide receivers can be pretty boom or bust in that position group, I think he is an excellent, excellent guy to have at that RB2 or even the flex position if you can swing it. But he does have RJ Harvey behind him, a guy who's got a little bit more explosiveness, right? Young guy, rookie. We've talked about the rookies a couple of times, that those guys get more involved in the offense. It becomes a little bit more difficult. And of course, Cortland Sutton. Cortland Sutton's always good. And then for the Eagles, I don't know. Saquon's been up and down to begin this year, which I never thought I'd say. Jalen Hurts runs for 60 yards a game, but only throws for 110. A.J. Brown has done pretty much nothing and is now doing what he does best, and that is posting cryptic things on Twitter. Devonta Smith has kind of been the wide receiver one for the Eagles so far this year, but that's not saying much in a team that sees Jalen Hurts have more tush pushes than targets for their wide receivers. I don't trust the Eagles offense right now. I trust them to score points, but I don't trust any individual one of those players in a fantasy football setting. I don't.
No, and for the pass catchers, you're buying about 20 targets a game or 20 attempts a game with Jalen Hurts. The Eagles want to run the ball. If you have Saquon Barkley, you start him. If you have anybody else besides Hurts, you pray.
Yes, besides Jalen Hurts, pray. They only throw the ball, what, 20, 25 times a game? And you got to think about Saquon's getting a few targets out of the backfield. Dallas Goedert's getting some looks. Jahan Dotson, who they traded for from the Commanders, a former top 15 pick. And then Devonta Smith. And then A.J. Brown. They have weapons, and they don't throw the ball very often. I would lean against looking at anything related to the Eagles in this game. But maybe I'm just a certified hater. I don't know. That could also be the case. Texans-Ravens, Derrick Henry should get 25 carries in this game. I mean, he only ran the ball, what, six times against the Chiefs last week? He really barely got the ball in the first half, and then in the second half, the game got out of reach, and they just waved the white flag, and here you go, Justice Hill, do your thing. Mark Andrews is still an incredibly effective tight end, but with Isaiah Likely now back healthy, I don't know what kind of impact that's going to have on his touches and his snap count. No Lamar Jackson, so avoid any pass catcher, in my opinion, for the Baltimore Ravens, outside of maybe one of the tight ends, because typically backup quarterbacks utilize their tight ends a lot, other than friggin' Carson Wentz with the Minnesota Vikings, who still won't throw TJ Hockenson the football. And then for the Texans, I don't friggin' know. I don't know anything about this Texans offense. You got Nico Collins, who's a great star wide receiver in this league. Two rookie wide receivers. For some reason, CJ Stroud can't get any of them the football. The guy's constantly being pressured in the backfield. They might have the worst O-line in football. You've got two running backs in Woody Marks and Nick Chubb, neither one of which I have any idea who's the starter. And then what happens when Joe Mixon comes back? And the Texans' defense has been disappointing. Honestly, outside of Derrick Henry, I would avoid every single thing to do with this Texans-Ravens game, if you can. Titans-Cardinals. If your QB1's out, look at Kyler. I think he could have a big day against a Titans team that's pretty much already said, yeah, we can't do it. What was it that Cam Ward said last week? I'm going to keep it a buck. We ass. It's not wrong. Don't put anybody on the Titans on your team. And for the Cardinals, I mean, if you want to go with Carter, you can do that. If you want to go with DeMarcado, you can do that. At the flex, I would say, don't put them in an RB1 or an RB2. I think Kyler's going to have a good day. And I'm sorry, I'm not one of those people that's just going to assume that Marvin Harrison Jr. is a bust because he has a few drops this year. It is quite a few, right? He has not played well, but he's going to continue to get targets. I'm going to continue to have faith in Marvin Harrison Jr. Buccaneers, Seahawks, keep rolling with Kenneth Walker. I know Charbonnet is a trendy guy every single year on the waiver wire as the backup, but Kenneth Walker stayed really healthy. Continue to start Jaxon Smith-Njigba because the touchdown catches are going to come. I truly believe that. He continues to get 9, 10, 12 targets a game, ton of yards, ton of catches, just hasn't found the end zone very often. I think that will come. Sam Darnold is another guy. I think that he's typically a backup quarterback in fantasy leagues, but if you got a guy on a bye or you got a quarterback that's hurt, right, you have Brock Purdy as your quarterback one, whatever, I think Sam Darnold's great, very, very viable in that spot. Lions, Bengals, continue to roll with Jared Goff. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery continues to make me nervous. That whole matchup does, right? Both of those guys are effective, but you just never know who's going to get it on a week-to-week basis. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is the better player, but David Montgomery's been the more effective runner, I would say, overall.
They're a great pair, and something to note about who they're playing today. They're playing the Bengals. I would say start every single player on the Lions that you can.
Yeah.
I mean, there are jokes about leading up to this week that the Lions are going to put 100 points on the Bengals. I mean, if that happens, you're talking about everybody scoring fantasy points. So
it is, as of now, the largest point spread of the week. Detroit's a 9.5-point road favorite in the NFL. That's how bad the Bengals off defense is. And if you bench Amon-Ra St. Brown this week, you should be investigated. That's all I have to say. The guy's got 6 receiving touchdowns in 4 weeks. He's the guy. And while it's been kind of a slower start for Sam Laporta in year 3, I still have all the faith in the world in that guy. Maybe it's just my Iowa bias showing a little bit. Commanders, Chargers, Jaden Daniels is back. He was off to a slow start before the injury. Maybe some of that sophomore slump thing that we're talking, you know, that we've seen a little bit creep up into the NFL a little bit more. For the Chargers, I believe in Amarion Hampton, fresh off the best game of his young career. Love to see him build on that. I'm starting to avoid Ladd McConkey a little bit in fantasy leagues. He's still getting some targets and some touches, but he's quickly become wide receiver 3 all of a sudden. Quentin Johnston has morphed into this jump ball vertical threat who can actually catch the ball, and Keenan Allen does what Keenan Allen does. Like Justin Herbert as an option, like Amarion Hampton as an option, the receivers do make me a little bit nervous. But if you have Quentin Johnston, I'd start him. The guy's got a touchdown catch every single week this season. And for the Commanders, I don't know. Yeah, well, Jaden Daniels is back. Debo Samuel's been super effective. They continue to get him touches, right? His volume is really good. So if you have him as a wide receiver too, or a flex, maybe.
Keep an eye on him as well as the game leads up. There is potential injury reports with Debo missing. And if he does, you're missing Debo and Terry. And that's going to be a recipe for sure. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a disaster, as Zach Ertz is still, that's a sleeper tight end you could pick up with these two receiving options being out. But he's probably going to be their go-to guy, and then the running backs out of the backfield. So that's one to look for.
Patriots Bills Sunday Night Football. Yeah, start Josh Allen. Seems pretty straightforward. Start James Cook. Seems pretty straightforward. Don't know about an individual like Bills or Patriots receiver to start.
Diggs is bringing up some volume. He's looking better as he's getting further and further removed from the ACL tear. Yeah,
better. And if you need a quarterback this week, Drake May has really looked the part, even more so than he did last year as a rookie, where he started to look much better as the year went on.
I think May's averaging over 20 fantasy points a game right now, so he should be a solid start. It is a Bills defense that is questionable. I mean, we saw the Ravens put 40 on them, and they just haven't looked like the Bills defense of the past.
Yeah, so far this year, Drake May has close to 250 passing yards per game, 7 touchdowns through the air, and only 2 picks, and he's also got a couple of rushing touchdowns. This season, he's averaging 4 yards a carry on limited volume, only 24, but he's a guy that he's got a little giddy up, I would say. And then Monday night against the Kansas City Chiefs, roll with Patrick Mahomes. Roll with this man. He's my quarterback in my fantasy football league. I got all the faith in the world in this man. I think he's gonna put himself right in the thick of MVP conversations as this season goes on. I'm fully bought in after what we saw Sunday against the Ravens. I believe it wholeheartedly. I'm rolling with Xavier Worthy. I'm not super sure to start anybody else. Some it's been, you know, Tyquan Thornton's been very effective, and we've seen Hollywood do some good things. Don't start Pacheco. Don't start Kareem Hunt. Don't do it, because I think Breshard Smith is going to get about 35% of the touches, 35% of the snaps this week, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, and if Breshard Smith is on your waivers and you have a spot, pick him up, stash him for a week. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. And then for the Jaguars, nobody. Yeah, I know. Trevor Etienne, you start that guy as a running back two or a flex just because he's earned it so far this year. He's averaging close to 100 yards a game. This man is averaging 18 touches per game this year, 71 touches in 4 games. So you know the volume is there. The effectiveness of it, I'm not entirely convinced of, because we know this Chiefs team is one of the best front sevens against the run in the league. 913-586-7965 is our number. When we come back on this Fantasy Football Sunday, let's get into some sit start. That's coming up next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Start or sit.
All right, here we go. 913-586-7965 is our number. Send in your start sit requests. We'll give you the best advice we possibly can. Somebody called us buns earlier because I mentioned possibly picking up Jake Ferguson. I'm in an 8-team fantasy league right now. Jake Ferguson got picked up in my league on Thursday. So in my 10-team league, he was picked up after week 1. You never know how the availability. And then I said Brandon Cooks was still on the Cowboys. He's not. He's on the Saints. So I'll own that one. First one I've got, start sit, Nick Chubb or Isaiah Pacheco. Nick Chubb, just on sheer volume. Nick Chubb has gotten immensely more carries than Isaiah Pacheco has gotten this year. And with the emergence of Breshard Smith more involved in this offense, and with Kareem Hunt being the short yardage back, Nick Chubb, in my opinion. Darren Waller or Strange? I lean Strange just because I know who he is a little bit more than Darren Waller at this point in Waller's career, a year after being, you know, out of the league in retirement. I know that Tyreek's out and that may open some eyes a little bit and he may get more involved, but for now I would lean Strange even against the Chiefs defense. Kendrick Bourne or Brian Thomas Jr.? Well, the problem is that Kendrick Bourne already played this week, so you can't really make that decision, but maybe for next week. I would still go with Brian Thomas. I'm sorry. The guy has 32 targets this year in four games. I know he's only got 13 grabs, but the volume of opportunity is still there for Brian Thomas. And after such a good rookie year, I think it's still there. And I'm sorry. 1 week of Kendrick Bourne wowing against, you know, for the 49ers against the Rams. I know that it's recency bias and it looks fun. I still wouldn't buy into it completely over a guy like Brian Thomas Jr. Okay, I got one here. Pick three from either Cam Scataboo, Derrick Henry, Javonte Williams, and Woody Marks. I would lean the first three guys on that list. Scataboo, Derrick Henry, and Javonte Williams. I know that Woody Marks got a ton of touches last week for Houston, and he was good. He's still sharing that backfield a little bit with Nick Chubb. You know, while Woody Marks had 17 carries last week, Nick Chubb had 13. So there's still splitting touches. These other three guys are the running backs in the backfield. The Cam Scataboo is the guy in New York. Derrick Henry is the guy, obviously, in Baltimore. Javonte Williams is the guy with the Cowboys. I would just, from that standpoint, not having a lot of other competition in the running back room, that's why I would go with those three guys in particular. Justin Fields or Jared Goff? Jared Goff, I'm sorry. I know that Justin Fields can run the football a little bit, and he's got some interesting options with a guy like Garrett Wilson. But I'm not entirely convinced of that guy's passing ability. I'm not. And Jared Goff has weapons galore. He's looked fantastic since that week one game that they lost. Give me Jared Goff over Justin Fields. Stephon Diggs or Zay Flowers? Stephon Diggs. Because at least he's got a starting quarterback throwing to him. Jacoby Myers or Tony Pollard? Ugh. I always sort of lean running back in those situations just because running backs typically have a more consistent volume. But the Titans are awful. So probably Jacoby Myers. I mean, he's proven it to me enough over the course of his career, I say as I bench him this week. Jaylen Waddle or Io Mainer? Probably Jaylen Waddle. Keon Coleman or Chris Olave? Well, I think Keon Coleman makes sense just because of who's throwing him the football versus Chris Olave. And I think he can be a good player. The Bills don't seem to be getting him the football a lot, I would say. So I guess probably Chris Olave. Rashad White or Ladd McConkey? Oof. Two guys that look like dudes at one point last year that have now just been completely overtaken in their own offense with the Bucks and Bucky Irving versus Ladd McConkey. Oh, man. Probably Ladd McConkey, because he's still going to be on the field for 80-90% of those plays. You know, I would still probably lean Ladd McConkey in that situation.
Well, and the main question with that is, since Bucky got ruled out, do you trust Rashad White to pick up where he left off before he lost the backfield, or do you trust Ladd McConkey?
I would still probably say I trust Ladd McConkey more than Rashad White, and maybe that's unfair. Juju or Woody Marks? Woody Marks at the flex over Juju Smith-Schuster for sure. Okay. So somebody's asking for a flex option here. Teteroa McMillan or Javonta Williams? Teteroa McMillan has been really good as a rookie. Ton of speed, big body, go up and get it, vertical threat, red zone target. Javonta Williams has been really consistent with the Cowboys. I think you can't really go wrong in this situation. Frankly, if you're looking at those two guys as a flex, I think your fantasy team must be in pretty good shape from what I understand. I maybe lean a little bit more Javonte Williams in that situation. Rico Dowdle or Kenneth Walker? Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker for sure. That guy's proven it. Rico Dowdle, I don't know, he was with the Cowboys last year. And the Panthers are awful. I would lean Kenneth Walker. Jameson Williams, Stephon Diggs, or Christian Kirk? Well, not Christian Kirk. I'll say that one flat out. Probably Jameson Williams. I mean, he's a big play threat, Right? He may only have three catches in a game, but he's going to go for 104 and a touchdown at least.
And with them playing the Bengals.
Exactly, dude. I'm leaning Jameson Williams. Amon Ross St. Brown can't catch two touchdown passes every week. Maybe he can. I don't know. Keenan Allen or Devonta Smith? Keenan Allen. Just on sheer volume. Eagles don't throw the football a lot. Makes them hard to trust, in my opinion. Bench one wide receiver. Godwin, Sutton, Brian Thomas Jr., or Diggs? I would maybe say you bench Brian Thomas Jr. this week. I like this Chiefs secondary. I think Trent McDuffie and those guys are going to give him fits, as if he hasn't struggled already. And then flex one, Javonta Smith or Rico. Javonta Williams, for sure. Did I say Javonta Smith? Javonte Williams. I would flex him over Rico Dowdle. Appreciate you guys joining us. Mac out this week. Logan Weber been here with you alongside my producer, Jacob Mustard. After Hours coming up next. Jay Binkley going to be with you from 10 to noon, getting you set for NFL Sunday here on 96.5, The Fan.